Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
We actually made it this week for the Not A Thing podcast. There was a little bit of rescheduling of things because it was a holiday weekend, so some of us took a holiday.
I'm on vacation.
Nice. Well, Brendan, thank you for joining us for the Not A Thing podcast, episode 92.
Yeah, we better make this quick. I got lots of relaxing and drinking to do.
Excellent. Keen. Well, we're going to just quickly just start the show then. Why not? I want to do a quick hooray for friend and guest of the podcast, Chris Arkenberg, who put together an article which ended up on Boing Boing this week about his trip to Japan and a robot-themed restaurant, which you'd think is kind of interesting because it is in Japan, and you'd be right. It's pretty awesome. So I'm not sure if you caught that that episode article before the show, but I'll link it in the comments. Definitely go read it. Go back and listen to Chris's show. It's good stuff.
Many multicolored things, flashy robots.
It's kind of like a like if Chuck E. Cheese were for adults. And
wait,
adults...
Chuck E. Cheese isn't for adults?
And by adults, I mean fans of anime and robots.
So you don't have to have kids to go to this robot restaurant then?
No, I think they probably would recommend against it. I don't know. I don't think they go kind of too off the wall, but it did sound really weird when it was described. So,
if you want to save on your kids' therapy bills in 20 years, you know, don't take them.
Keen, but we go from news from one guest of the podcast to another guest of the podcast. So I'd love to welcome Gina Smith.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yay!
Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure, welcome, welcome. The system works. Gina, thanks for coming by. We're so glad we can have a guest. We're in the kind of home stretch up to the 100th episode, so I really wanted to kind of kick the show up a little bit. And so having guests really works, especially interesting guests. So let's just dive right in. Gina, what's your thing?
Oh, my thing. Well, that's a pretty broad question. I enjoy both video games and comic books, and I also have a background in music theater and writing. And professionally, I design and do research.
So for those of you playing podcast bingo, she has just scored a winning count.
A bingo.
Did I get a whole line?
You hit all the topics.
Excellent. I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't know where to start, but let's start with, I don't know, video games. I love video games. What are you playing?
Well, I was recently playing a game by Square Enix called Bravely Default. It was the first Square Enix game I've played since Final Fantasy X, so in many, many, many years. But unfortunately, I had to put it down. It was very good, and if you're interested in turn-based mechanics with a really cool job system, check it out. But spoiler alert, the second half is really terrible, so no fair warning. You can also break it. I managed to break the game, which I also haven't done in a while.
It's the hallmark of quality workmanship.
Oh yeah, you know, when they just didn't anticipate it. But it's still a lot of fun and requires quite a bit of strategy and skill to plan out, so it was fun.
Keep.
It was a good use of time.
And really, what more can you ask from a game, right? You want a little bit.
It not breaking. I think you can.
Yeah, that's pretty basic.
Oh, there was a game that was, it was Assassin's Creed 3 when that first came out.
So mad.
Before, like, a lot of the the bugs were fixed. There were quite a few bugs that were very game-breaking.
My hatchet kept disappearing. I wanted to use it to kill the redcoats, but it wouldn't let me. That and walking on snow that wasn't there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a problem.
I did the falling through the level thing, so you fall below the floor, and then all you can do is look up as the entire of the level, like, kind of slowly extends away from you, and you can't do a thing about it.
I've heard Watch Dogs has its fair share of those.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently there's some big collision detection failures on some of the outlying areas of town, so you just fall through.
And that's why I don't have a next-gen console.
Not yet.
Well, no, I'm going to get one. I know. I will.
I finally caved, so, you know, I can't claim that anymore.
PS4 or Xbox One?
PS4.
Nice.
Yep. I don't think I'm going to get an X-Bone. I may get a Wii U.
Excellent. I think I do like PlayStation better, just kind of in general. I mean, I did have the original Xbox, I don't know what you call that. I guess it was just the original Xbox.
The Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, right. And, but I did get it because I was working at Microsoft at the time. So it was one of their kind of developer boxes. So that was kind of cool. It stopped taking firmware updates after a certain point, so I really kind of put it away. And then I went whole hog, PS3, etc. at that point. But I like the PlayStation kind of ecosystem, or I like the idea of it. I don't have a new Vita, which is supposedly the way to go.
Yeah, no, the Vita is wonderful. It's definitely my favorite portable gaming system, and it's getting some really good game like titles on it. So you might want to check it out. I'm kind of two minds on the PlayStation Xbox conflict. I think the Xbox 360 had the perfect controller.
Yeah,
it was beautiful, and like if I could play a game on the 360, I would, but I like PlayStation's title list a lot better.
I'm very proud of my 360. I think it might be one of the only white ones that didn't get a red ring of death. It's still running strong.
That's impressive. I feel like you should get an achievement for that. I do agree. The 360 controller was great. I mean, they really figured it out after the first Xbox. Do you remember the huge controller the original Xbox had?
I do.
Yeah, that was... I don't know who has hands that big.
Our future robot overlords, that's who.
Well, I have a similar question about the 3DS, actually. And they fixed it with the XL, so I guess I can't complain too much. But I don't understand who was meant to hold those. They're horribly shaped.
I mean, maybe small children have hands that are reasonably sized for the 3DS, because I did buy the launch 3DS, and it's not fun, and especially on games where like Mario Kart, where you're just holding down the accelerator, your hand, you know, with that like constant pressure on that A button, it just messes you up.
I think it's because it's got the hard corners, so you can't actually, like, you have to configure your hands into a very strange position in order to hold it for long periods of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan.
I've still not gotten the XL to.
I think the last portable system I had was Game Boy Pocket.
Well, which one was Pocket? I remember Color. Is Pocket the one with the folding screen?
No, it's tiny.
No, it was like the regular one. Just smaller.
Yeah, the SD was the one with the folding screen, I think. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the last Game Boy I had was the folding screen, and then I did the, and then I went right for the big DS, and then I went the 3DS. So, it mostly works.
I mean, I think skipped a bunch of generations in there. I had the big Game Boy brick, and then got an SD. So.
Yeah, that's legit. I had the original Game Boy. It was pretty rad. Dr. Mario all day.
It was a Toy Story game that I really enjoyed, you know. Classics.
Yeah, I feel like there's that kind of keeping that ecosystem around in the Wii and then in the 3DS of being able to buy like all the old games is a brilliant idea for them. Kind of the old guys like me love playing the original Kid Icarus all the time. But cool. So other than like no, so what are you playing on the PS4 that works if Watch Dogs doesn't?
Well, embarrassingly nothing.
But there's so many titles out.
I have full intention to play Child of Light, mostly because I think it's a very intriguing thing for Ubisoft to have made, and so I would like it to work. So I want to see how it goes. But yeah, I own it, but I have not. Oh, that's a lie. I played Towerfall Ascension, which is a wonderful game. That is the one title I have played on my PS4 so far.
Okay.
What style of game is that?
It is, the way I describe it is a Super Smash Bros. Style combat game with a retro feel using bows and arrows. So, yeah. It's a really great fighting mechanic, but it's sort of Super Smash Bros.-esque in that there are big fields and you, with multiple layers and sort of falling is part of the mechanic, rather than just a 2D fighter.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and it's, how many people does it support at once? Is it like four?
I think it can do up to four, yeah. Yes, it supports four. I've only played it two player, but yes.
Did you ever see, I think it's called Sports Friends?
No, I did not.
So it's I want to say it's a PSN game, so it might be for PS4. I know it's for PS3, but I saw it at, I think it was the last Penny Arcade Expo, and it's just a bunch of mini games, and they're all meant to be played on the same screen with like 2 to 4 people. And one of the games, which was a big hit, was something like pole vault soccer, or so.
What does that look like?
So the game field is this. It's a side-scrolling kind of field. And there's a ball that's supposedly suspended on this rope, and then everyone has poles. And there's only one button, which is plant the pole so you can kind of jump. And the other controls are left and right. So all you're doing is, you're running along. And when you run along, you automatically hold the pole straight up. So if you run straight across, you can like push the ball along with that. But if you are, if you want to get it to move any kind of speed, you have to kick it, and you kick it by pole vaulting. So you press the button, which starts you pole vaulting. And then you have to kind of aim it, so you, the arc of you traveling through the air kicks the ball. And you can do stuff like pole vault off other people who are already in the air, and it will like add more momentum to you kicking the ball. And it's just this kind of ridiculous party game that works really, really well if everyone is drunk. I'll say it. It's kind of obscure, but really, really fun. I'm actually surprised we didn't break it out on Saturday, or Monday for the party, but I think we had enough fun, you know, just being in a pool and grilling instead. So that worked out.
I would watch that on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
Yeah, it's good. I think there's been a resurgence of games that you can play locally rather than online. I'm not sure what the appeal is, other than I think kind of smaller developers and indie programmers, it's a lot easier to write the code if everyone's local. And you know, with the game systems getting kind of beefier, you can do a lot more things locally that you didn't used to be able to do. It just bodes well for that kind of Super Smash Brothers kind of genre of kind of ridiculous fun party attack games. I mean, I think those are more fun than kind of the Mario Party games.
Agreed. No, but I'm glad that there's been sort of a resurgence of local multiplayer, because it just, as fun as online gaming is, there's something you can't quite capture in it that you can in local multiplayer. There's just an exuberance to actually being in the room and sort of the frustration and joy escalating because of it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with Mario Party, but, you know.
Cool.
Well, talking trash is much better face-to-face.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. There's nothing... I mean, I get trash talk to me when I play online, but I feel like I don't know. I'd rather be trash talked by people I know than 14-year-olds with, like, insane reflexes just demolishing me in Call of Duty.
That, and usually my friends are less racist and homophobic trash talking in person than the kids online.
Usually. I've met your friends.
Okay, all the time it's less.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So what, you mentioned video games and comics. What other comics are kind of in your zone?
Well, I will confess that I've had sort of a dry year so far as comics go, which is really upsetting on my end. I had finished a couple comics classes while I was still at school, but since then I've sort of trailed off. I did, however...
Whoa, hold the phone. There are classes for comics?
Yeah, I took... My absolute favorite was the history of comics, and it sort of... Well, it's the abridged history of comics. It starts in sort of the, like, 1910, 1920s, and then goes forward to today. But it's really interesting seeing sort of how politics shaped comics.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Was this a class at Hogwarts or something?
It's a class at Carnegie Mellon, but close enough. Yeah. but yeah, I did see the new X-Men movie, however, over the weekend, which I very much enjoyed.
So it was than X-Men 3.
It was better than X-Men 3.
That's all I asked for.
That's not asking very much.
No, really, please.
Yeah, I also saw three. I did.
Why would you watch that again, Alan? Life is too short.
I guess it's X-Men 5 now? Would it be... I guess it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's either that or you go, like, X-Men B2 or something.
That might be more accurate.
But yeah, I liked it a lot. I mean, I think if nothing else, it undoes a lot of the kind of horribleness of 3 and kind of puts it back on the track of what Bryan Singer was trying to do with X-Men in the first place.
Anything to diminish Brett Ratner makes me happy.
It was also graphically gorgeous. Some of their effects were really stunning. And sometimes it wasn't even like the big effects. I thought Blink at the very beginning of the movie had some of the most beautifully composed shots I've seen in an action movie.
Yeah, Yeah, now they're thinking with portals is really what I was thinking the entire time. But I think they kept the right vibe, right? I mean, I think with X-Men First Class, they had a good just head on their shoulders about not winking to the audience every like 5 minutes. I mean, it's a prequel, but we don't have to tell everyone that it's a prequel. So, I mean, I think they handled that really well. And one of the things that my wife pointed out about the movie was that all of the music seemed period appropriate. So it's set in kind of the 70s. And so it has that kind of 70s music cue kind of thing going on. Like the action music has like a little bit of bongos going on, and there's kind of a like funky guitar under some of the like walking around sequences. So it was done nicely.
That's very true. I hadn't really thought about the sort of sound management in it. But I know at the very least the costuming was spot on.
Yep, that floral shirt that that he wears is very, very floral.
Wait, is this the one they showed in the trailer where Professor X looks like Lieutenant Dan?
Yeah, the kind of red on pink, like, yes, it's pretty rad. Or groovy? Yes, let's go with groovy.
Your references are slipping back, Alan.
It's almost past groovy, I think.
Yeah.
It's old groovy.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Worth seeing when you get to it. So I'm not spoiling anything, because Brendan, I know you haven't seen it, but there is a post-credit sequence, and I think... And I feel like I mentioned this when we were talking about Captain America. I'm done with their post-credit sequences. I just don't want to see them anymore. Just show me that movie. I mean, it's very much a teaser, and you kind of... It's even, like, you can tell even less about what's happening. Like, the one at the end of Winter Soldier, it's like, I sort of... can tell what's going on, and there's definitely foreshadowing about this, but the one at the end of Days of Future Past, I don't know what to do with that. It's like, okay, great, that means something. Maybe I will remember that in 2 years.
Well, I feel like they make those for the people that are really knowledgeable in the comics. It's like, if you don't know what, like, if you haven't read them, you're usually not going to understand what they're hinting at.
I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty versed in the comics, and I still looked it up. I mean, I knew what part of it was, and I still looked it up, and I'm still like, okay, sure, whatever. That means something, and it'll mean a lot more when I see the first trailer for the new movie, but yeah.
And I think even the choice to make them sort of a wink at those that are in the know is different than what they originally were. Like, I thought they were very effective when they were leading up to the original, the first Avengers movie.
Right.
Because it was all about building a cast. It's, yes, this person will be in this movie. No, this person won't. But here's how this plays in. But now that that's over, and it's just, it feels like they feel like it's expected of them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And in Winter Soldier, I had trouble because I wasn't sure whether it was a tie-in to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or not.
That whole movie was a tie-in to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's true. In a good way. In a very good way.
Oh, yeah. It made the show way better.
It made the show.
Yeah. It was struggling. It found its way.
Oh, I may pick it up. I may.
Apparently you need to just take the shield out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to make it a good show.
Alan, I will say there's a point at which you can pick it up and skip all of the bad. and you may want to just do that.
Oh, I think I unfortunately watched all of the bad, and then I stopped.
Yeah, you stopped right as I told you, it's getting good.
That's unfortunate.
What was the last one I saw? I think it was the one where there was that... They sent the girl undercover because she couldn't handle it, but she ended up handling it because there was the guy that had been kidnapped who was making the machine that could like fold space or whatever. And there was the whole scene where it's Agent Coulson and the guy, and they're like upside down in the room because it's bending reality or whatever. And then he gets sucked into the thing at the end, and it's foreshadowing him like breaking out later. Does that make sense?
That does. That's right in the middle of the bad.
Yes. Oh, so there's more bad to come before.
Yeah, there's a little more bad to come, and then you're done.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a sure. I mean, now that you know, Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley are doing their finale, I can maybe, I have some room maybe to pick something up. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, you need to watch True Detective before you watch that.
Good point.
And Orphan Black.
Oh, God. Okay.
No free time for you, Alan. You got homework, boy.
Write this down.
Alan watching TV is a thing.
This should be all your status updates. And I'm watching this now.
Just live blog about them.
Sure. Why not?
I want season reviews like we got for Stargate.
Oh, that was pretty beautiful, I think. So for those that were not fans of, I guess, me before the podcast, one of the things I did when I was less gainfully employed was I watched all of Stargate SG-1. How quickly did I watch it? I feel like I was watching like a season a week.
It was faster than I was expecting.
Yeah, it was pretty fast. So, and then I wrote season reviews of SG-1 onto my blog. So maybe I'll...
We should link... Is that still on your blog?
Assuming my blog still works, I will have to go back and link those. I'm pretty sure they still exist. I have changed the theme of the blog, but I'm pretty sure it's the same. I'm pretty sure I was still using WordPress at the time, so I'll find them. That'll probably be pretty fun to reread because I know I haven't like written for the blog like in a long time. So yeah, I'll find those. That'll be a good nostalgia trip. Why not?
I remember a lot of the reviews were, they did this on Next Generation already.
Yeah, a friend of mine, he was musing with making a website that all it did was you would point out scenes from sci-fi of all kinds and then trace it back to when they showed it in Star Trek The Next Generation. And he totally bore that out of watching SG-1, which I think is great.
Was it just trope reuse, or
yeah, pretty what? Much?
Okay, right. All right.
Like, yeah, I mean the one that always kills me, and I, it's like the death of any show for me is when they do a courtroom episode just because they felt they need to. I know when Battlestar Galactica turned bad was when they went to courtroom episodes.
So that's the sign that the show's jumped the shark, is if it requires a courtroom episode.
Leave it to Law and Order.
I think House did that too, actually. I'm trying to go through my list. I'm like, yeah, that's when House got bad.
Yeah, it's probably a thing. Cool. Well, what else did we... So you mentioned also musical theater?
Yes.
So I don't want to, like, out you or anything, because musical theater can be very polarizing for folks.
Fair enough. I am not an actor, although I used to, but I did take part in writing a musical within the last year and a half that had a very rocky history and is unfortunately right now shelved, but it almost got a premiere. So,
you know,
as it goes. We had a 3-week engagement set up in Atlanta actually for June, but unfortunately that fell through. We're trying to figure out what to do next with it. But the a read-through of the show is actually up on YouTube, so it was fairly popular online, at the very least.
Internet famous.
Yeah.
Oh well, you have to link that to me, because that'll be we'll blow that out of the water. All 35 listeners of the podcast will be all over that.
It's up to you guys, I believe.
Somebody has to.
It was an interesting time, and what my job during the show was I wrote the book, and I also wrote the lyrics for all the songs. Then I sent the lyrics on to the primary songwriter, and he, you know, actually made them into songs as it goes.
Very cool. So what was the focus of the musical?
The musical was an adaptation of a video game, taking this full circle. it was an adaptation of the video game Persona 4, and which was tricky because Persona 4 is a 65-hour plus game, and we had to rewrite it to where we could have it be just as compelling in 3 hours. And with music.
Wow.
But we did. We managed to get it down to 3 hours, and it worked. So, you know, as it goes. And the plot is basically about a small town where, unfortunately, suddenly, murders start taking place, and nobody can solve them, and they don't understand the cause of death or anything related to that. And oh, by the way, there's a supernatural element to this that goes deep into the history of the town. And it's an interesting sort of exploration of Jungian psychology paired with Scooby-Doo style antics. So yeah.
are there rubber masks involved?
There are masks, actually, but not rubber masks.
And meddling kids?
There are meddling kids, and instead of a dog, there's a bear. So,
wow.
Bears are way better than dogs.
And all of this comes with I recommend this game. Obviously, I love it, or I wouldn't have helped adapt it to a stage show.
What system is it on? Or is it PC?
No, it originally came out on the PS2, but then it was re-released for the PlayStation Vita a little less than a year ago.
Oh, neat.
Yep.
So one more plus for the Vita platform.
One of the primary pluses for the Vita platform.
This episode brought to you by PlayStation Vita.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, it's fine. We're always looking for sponsors. Send us a check, Sony.
Yeah, we're still waiting on our first sponsorship, # Flat Earth. But one day someone will sponsor us for that, and we've said it before, we'll say it again, we're totally down with selling out to sponsors. Please, yeah. Feel free
to
sponsor.
Want me to say the earth is flat? Just pay me. # Flat Earth.
Well, I'm sure the Flat Earth is not kind of in your sponsorship repertoire, but what kind of stuff like kind of works for you? What kind of stuff would you sponsor or just buy? I guess we don't have to sponsor things. We're consumers.
Is that directed at me or
sure?
Oh, you take this one.
Well, what's working for you like right now? What's fun?
Wow. I don't know. Well, I am now going to PAX, so that's super exciting.
Yeah, for those not familiar, the Penny Arcade Expo The tickets went on sale this week. So,
and they're gone.
Did you hear how quickly this went, Brandon?
I didn't hear the actual number, but I know a bunch of people who didn't get tickets.
Yeah, so I was kind of bummed because last year I bought the individual pass tickets. Every year before last year, I was able to get the 3-day badges. They moved it to 4 days last year, and this year it's also 4 days. So I missed the initial run of badges because I think they sold out of those in like 45 minutes or something like that. And so I did what I thought was the right thing to do, and it was the right thing to do, which was they always announce it on Twitter. So I turned on notifications for that specific Twitter account, like PAX_official or something like that. And so it would, you know, light a message up on my phone. And so I got a message at 10:12 on Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday, or maybe it was Wednesday. And so I was in a meeting when that was happening. So I stepped out of the meeting. I'm proud to say I stepped out of a meeting at work in order to buy PAX tickets. And I was in line as soon as I had clicked the link. And it puts you in a queue, and you wait, you wait, and you wait. And it finally let me in at 10:19, so 7 minutes later. The 4-day pass is already gone.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. It's just wild. So I was able to buy enough to make sure that Julie and I could go, and I actually am selling the other two to Gina. So it works out.
Thank you so much. I also got in the queue, and when I got into the queue, there were still passes for Saturday had already sold out, but Friday and Sunday still had passes. But then when it was my turn, unfortunately, they'd completely sold out.
So wow.
That was unfortunate.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's an impacted show. It's fun. It's a little crazy, but it's really, really fun.
Well, I'm glad I didn't try and go this year.
Well, we always do a little wrap up post PAX for the show. So maybe we'll have you on again for that.
I'd love to. That sounds fun.
Cool. Well, we're getting kind of close to our normal kind of wrap up moment. So I do want to make sure if there's anything, I don't know if there's anything you want to promote or, I mean, we'll link the read through if you don't mind. We'll
sure. That'd be fine.
Cool. If you send me the link, we'll put it up. It'd be great. Is there anything else that you're working on that you want to promote or just ways to find you on the internet? That you're comfortable with?
I mean, I suppose I have an art blog, and that's really all I'm working on at the moment. It's not terribly exciting, but it is what it is.
Cool.
What it is. That's our wheelhouse.
The blog, it's a Tumblr blog, so it's floatslikebricks.tumblr.com.
Cool.
Woo.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, well,
I did have something to promote this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The Kickstarter for bringing Reading Rainbow Unlimited to children.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Contribute. their goal was $1 million, and it's day two, and they're already at 2.4 million.
Wow.
It can't hurt to keep giving.
I actually have not clicked on it. I had just seen pictures come up because a friend of mine wanted to try and figure out a way to go like 10 or 15 or 20 ways on whichever one that would bring LeVar Burton to like a school and then and then go to that. But I actually didn't see what the parameters were. So is it just to like buy out the rights for the Reading Rainbow episodes?
No, it's for them to they're providing new content bring it to basically the idea is for any child who has internet access to have access to the show and interactive field trips for free. And also they want to bring it to classrooms as well. The video that they put together is great. There's a cameo with Brent Spiner at the end that's pretty funny.
Cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I got to give a lot of credit to LeVar Burton for me. Between reading Rainbow and Star Trek, that definitely helped form me as a person. So more children should get that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Cool. Well, in that case, Gina, thank you so much for being on. This was a really fun time.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Cool.
Time flew by. That's how we know it's a good episode.
Cool. Well, I will wrap it up. And Brendan, watch X-Men. Maybe we can talk about it next week. Maybe we'll have another guest. If you'd like to be a guest on the Not a Thing podcast and you're listening, just email us. The website has all sorts of stuff. You can tweet at us. You can Facebook us. We don't really do Google Plus. We talked about that a few shows ago.
But neither does Google anymore.
Well, in any case, find us, get a hold of us. We'd love to have you on the show. We're running up to episode 100, and I feel like we're actually going to cross the 2-year time-wise barrier pretty soon. So that's exciting. But I'm actually more excited for the 100th episode.
So that's a whole lot of talking.
Yeah, we got to do something fun. I'm still not sure what we're going to do.
Yeah, we're not going to say what we're going to do, not because we don't know, but because we want it to be a surprise.
Maybe even to us.
You're blowing it out.
Right on. Brendan, I'll talk to you next week.
Until next time.